Order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, November 7th, 2023. It is 6 o'clock. This meeting may also be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website and on www.slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by calling 805-321-6639, and the phone line is open now. So would you please all rise and join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Rotana, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Hoffman?
Here.
Commissioner Mann?
Here.
Commissioner Swift?
Here.
Vice Chair Holden?
Here.
And Chair Halverson?
Here. At this time, the Planning Commission will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. The Commission should, by motion, adopt the agenda as presented or as revised. Do I have a motion or discussion about the agenda?
I move. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ms.
I move we leave it the way it is.
Very good. Do I have a second?
I will second the motion to
all
approve
in favor,
as is.
Please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, we have an agenda. We'll move on to the public communications section. Please call in at 805-321-6639 if you would like to provide any public comment. During this time, the Commission will allow public communication. Any member of the public may address the Commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this Commission. The Commission will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the Commission cannot act on items not on the agenda. So I open to public comment. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak at this point? Is there anyone on the phone lines who would like to speak? Very good. We close to public comment and move to the consent agenda. And if there's any member of the public who wishes to address the Commission on the consent agenda, please call in at 805-321-6639. So the item on the consent agenda is the minutes of the previous meeting. Do I have a motion to approve that item on the consent calendar?
I'll move that we approve the item on the consent agenda.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Very good. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Nay? No? Okay. We have approved that. We'll now move on to the public hearing portion. And one more time, as a reminder, if you would like to call in for public comment on an item, please call at 805-321-6639. So the first item in our public hearing is development application 2339. The applicant is the People's Self-Help Housing and Housing Authority of San Luis Obispo. And our community development director, Megan Martin, apparently has the presentation.
Thank you. Good evening. Megan Martin, community development director. Development application 2339 is a request by People's Self-Help Housing and the Housing Authority of San Luis Obispo for a use permit for a sign program to allow for site directional and wayfinding signs and an exception from the maximum height requirement for one of those signs. The site's an approximately 1.5 acre site. It's located at 1206 West Grand Avenue. The site is also accessible from 13th Street. The property is zoned Central Business Open and Central Business Open within the PD6 overlay. Both of these designations are intended to be developed with a mixture of commercial, office, and residential uses. As you may be aware, the project site will be developed with an affordable, with an approved 53-unit affordable housing project. It's more commonly referred to as Cleaver and Clark. Construction's tentatively scheduled to begin toward the end of the year. The proposed sign program would support the development with the installation of 5 site directional and wayfinding signs. These signs are scattered in appropriate and opportune locations throughout the site, and it's to assist not only residents and visitors, but also emergency site personnel. The proposed signage, as I scroll through if my clicker would work, apologize, are complementary in both color, design, as well as architectural style of the Cleaver and Clark development. The proposed signs are subject to Development Code Section 3.60, that's specific to directional and wayfinding signs. These directional and wayfinding signs are allowed in commercial and industrial zones subject to specific size and height limitations. The proposed signs are in substantial compliance with all other design guidelines and sign design requirements outlined in that applicable code section relative to materials, illumination, design, and proposed construction. One sign, however, is the arch sign, which we consider a directional sign, exceeds the maximum height of 5 feet and requires a request for an exception from that maximum height standard. Staff supports this exception to the standards because the arch serves as a visually striking and welcoming focal point to the proposed affordable housing development. Additionally, the location of the project is such that the shape of the property with access driveways from two streets, so as I mentioned earlier, both 13th as well as from West Grand Avenue, warrant a more visible and distinguishing entrance to the project site. And as I mentioned, all signs outside of the arch sign, which I showed you here, are in substantial compliance with all other design guidelines. And the arch sign itself is in compliance with all other design guidelines outlined in that applicable code section. The proposed project was found to be exempt from California Environmental Quality Act under Public Resources Code Section 21065 and CEQA Guidelines Section 15378, as we found that the proposed project, the sign program itself, will not cause a direct or a reasonably foreseeable indirect change in the environment. And as I mentioned earlier, this is already slated to be developed as an affordable 53-unit affordable housing development. With that, staff recommends that your commission adopt a resolution approving the development application for the 5 signs as well as the 1 sign exception for the approved affordable housing development and a determination that the project is exempt from CEQA. This concludes staff's presentation, and I'm available for any questions you may have.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions of staff?
I do not.
Please go ahead.
The first one is just a question in terms of the arch sign, because half of the arch is attached to the building. If you were to treat that arch as an extension of the building front on Grand, would that sign then basically be conforming under the wall sign regulations in Table 3.7 of Chapter 3?
It could be. Staff found that it was more comparable to that of the directional signage, We held it to that standard. But yes, it could be. So part of our issue with this project is that arch sign is not defined in our code. And as such, we had to find the most comparable or the most similar one. And it fit best with the site directional signage standards.
So given the nature of more developments on Grand, like this under the sort of West Grand plan, is there any interest in including in Table 3.7 an arch sign class of sign so that if it comes up in the future, it becomes a non-exemption?
Absolutely. So something that we are going to be taking to the council next year is going to be kind of a status update on our overall implementation and administration of our sign ordinance. And with that, the council will be giving us direction to make some changes to the sign ordinance and possibly the sign program requirements itself, at which point your commission would then receive a presentation and you would then be able to provide that input on those changes, which we would then ultimately present to council. They would have final action on.
Thank you.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I had a question. Is what we're seeing in terms of graphic design the final graphic design, or could that change?
No, this is the final graphic design for each of the different signs. So this would be subsequent to this would be an application for a building permit application, and that building permit application would need to be consistent with each of the signs that we're presenting here tonight.
Okay, and our sign ordinance doesn't have aesthetics stipulations.
Only limited to that of size and height. So objective standards. Mm-hmm. Anything subjective, I believe, is not something that we can touch as a part of a sign.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Any other questions of staff? Go ahead.
I have just a comment. Can I comment?
Absolutely.
I think these signs are lovely, and I love an arch sign. I think I would be in favor of an exception for this.
All right. Any other comments from the commissioners? Okay. Very good. Then I will open it up to the public. If anybody from the audience would like to speak to this item, would you please come forward? Seeing none, is there anyone on the phone who would like to speak to this item?
No, there's not.
Very good. Thank you. I will close to public comment and open it back up to the commissioners for any discussion. No discussion? Then I would entertain a motion.
I will move that this that we recommend the planning or the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving development application 2339 for the use permit sign program to allow the 5 site directional wayfinding signs and 1 sign exemption for an approved affordable housing development and a determination that the project is exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act under Public Resources Section 21065 and CEQA Guidelines Section 15378, as the project will not cause a direct or a reasonable foreseeable indirect change in the environment. Did I say that right?
You did great. Thank you so much. Do I have a second for that motion?
I will second that motion.
Very good. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Chair Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner Swift?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
Commissioner Mann?
Yes.
And Chair Halverson?
Yes. Thank you. Motion passes. We'll move on to item 3 on the agenda, development application 2335. The applicant is Signs of Success Incorporated, and our associate planner, Janet Reese, has the presentation.
Good evening. This is a request for a sign program to replace the existing monument sign that's located at 1600 West Grand Avenue for the existing commercial development that is there. The proposed project is located at 1600 West Grand, which is the southwest corner of West Grand Avenue and South 16th Street. The site was developed back in 1987 or so with 2 commercial structures and a freestanding sign. The applicant is seeking a sign program or use permit for a sign program to allow the replacement of the existing non-illuminated monument sign with an internally illuminated monument sign. The site is zoned retail commercial and is approximately 67,000 square feet. The development code describes the retail commercial zone as an area of the city intended for auto-related services and or auto-centric services and amenities serving the community and area residents. The provision, the retail commercial zone also allows for larger scale retail that's inappropriate or infeasible in other areas of the city. The proposed monument sign will replace the existing sign within the existing landscape planter that is there. Similar to the existing monument sign, there will be space for up to 5 tenants on each side of the sign for their business names. The new monument sign also includes the addresses of the development spanning from 1600 West Grand to 1628 West Grand. The proposed monument sign will be 10 feet in height, including the stone base, which is slightly shorter actually than the existing sign. And width-wise, it will be 6 feet 3 inches, which is a foot and 9 inches wider than the existing sign, but still fits within the existing planter. Typically, signs require a sign registration or sign permit and are approved at staff level. However, some signs requesting modification to standards or, in this case, special consideration require a sign program. A sign program may be considered as part of another development application or separate, like it is tonight. Sign programs are subject to these findings that there are special circumstances applicable to the property. The sign is in substantial compliance with any applicable design standards. or guidelines, and the sign's design or proposed construction will not threaten the public health, safety, or welfare. The development code allows a property to have a freestanding sign with a maximum height of 6 feet. However, for properties that exceed 20,000 square feet, like this one, the development code allows a freestanding sign to have a maximum height of 15 feet, subject to the approval of a sign program. The project includes a request to replace the existing monument sign with a sign that exceeds the normal maximum height of 6 feet. As I stated earlier, the proposed sign is 10 feet in height. The project site is located along West Grand Avenue in a heavily trafficked commercial development, and this new sign would provide greater visibility for the businesses signage, or the tenants that have signage on this sign. The project is in compliance with applicable design standards and the sign design standards. The sign's design and construction will not threaten the public health, safety, or welfare of individuals accessing the site, as it's out of the public right-of-way and within the existing planter. And then the project, as conditioned, will comply with all building code requirements and will not constitute a hazard to the public health, safety, or welfare. In accordance with the California Environmental Quality Act, this project is exempt under Section 15302, which allows the replacement of an existing sign with a similar sign, similar size sign. Therefore, staff recommends Planning Commission adopt the resolution approving this request. And staff's available for questions.
All right, let's see if we have any. Does anybody on the commission have a question for staff?
I have a question about the design. The will the names of the businesses be in the font shown, or will it be more in the related to the branding of the individual business?
You can ask the applicant that, because I don't know which tenants are.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering: are all of the names going to look identical, or will there be some differentiation?
Typically, those lease space signage tenant positions are representative of the branding, okay. not specific to the font. That's just an example of
it's
size.
It's like a placeholder.
Yeah, a placeholder. Okay. It's just an example of size.
Yeah, that, I think that'll make it a bit more interesting visually.
Any other questions for staff? All right, I will open it up to the public for comment. If anyone from the audience would like to speak on this issue, please come up to the podium. Seeing no one, let's see if there's anyone on the phone lines.
No, there's not.
There is not. So we will close for public comment and bring it back to the commission. Any discussion or a motion?
I just wanted to say that I've been to that shopping center many times, and you really cannot notice the current sign, especially since it's not illuminated. So I'm encouraged by this new sign, and I'm happy that it will be illuminated. I think that will really help.
Okay. Any other comments? Then perhaps a motion.
I motion to adopt a resolution approving development application 2335 for use permit for the sign program, and that we have determined that the project is categorically exempt from CEQA.
Very good. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
May I have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
Vice Chair Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner Mann?
Yes.
Commissioner Swift?
Yes.
And Chair Halverson?
Yes. Very good. Motion passes. Let's move on to our regular business item. Item 4 on the agenda. Hello. It's a pre-application, development application 2331. The applicant is Coastal Community Builders. And we'll go back to our development director, Megan Martin.
Thank you. Development application 2331 is a pre-application for your commission's review and feedback for a conceptual mixed-use residential commercial project. And to be clear, this is going to be similar to one that we heard back in April. So this is a concept. No action will be taken this evening. It's to solicit feedback from both your commission as well as any members of the public that would like to provide it on the concept project and design. The project sites an approximately 1.03-acre lot located at the northwest corner of West Grand Avenue and North 2nd Street. The Union Pacific Railroad line is immediately west of the site and connects across West Grand Avenue to the Grover Beach train station. The site is adjacent to a vacant, undeveloped lot to the north, residential rentals to the northeast, and an all-terrain vehicle rental company, Arnie's ATV rental, just to the east. The site is developed with an ATV rental company, BJ's ATV Rentals. It has operated at the site since 1982. The site is entirely developed with commercial structures and outdoor storage of rental equipment and vehicles. Entrance and access to the site is taken from West Grand Avenue, North 2nd Street, as well as Ramona Avenue at the rear, just at the north, that you can see on the left-hand photo on your screen. The conceptual project consists of a 25-lot vesting tentative subdivision condominium map. It will include 23 three-bedroom residential units, two commercial lease spaces totaling approximately 2,080 square feet of commercial, including an outdoor plaza seating area at the corner of North 2nd and West Grand. It will include 55 parking spaces, five of which would be on street, and associated landscaping, site, and public frontage improvements. When reviewing a pre-application, staff reviews the project consistent with the applicable policies of the general plan. The following land use element policies were identified and are used to guide the review of this project and provide feedback to the applicant. So those include land use 3.1, high quality infill development. So for any underutilized or infill lots, we're looking for high quality design and development that really maximizes the use of the site while also ensuring that the intended use is that of mixed use, commercial, residential, something that really draws pedestrians and provides visitor serving uses at that site. Land use policy 4.1, mixed use development, as I just said, the intent of this is to provide for as much use at the site as possible. We are really looking in this visitor serving area to provide visitor serving uses. So commercial lease spaces, retail outlet, or restaurant uses would be a very common lower floor development. And then the upper levels would be that of residential or lodging. Land use element 6.1 regarding the West Grand Avenue area. So as I mentioned, this is coastal visitor serving. It's within a visitor serving zoning designation. We're looking for this side of West Grand to really draw pedestrian scaled uses, retail, restaurant, outdoor plaza, seating areas, lodging, residential, just really trying to liven up and create a more nightlife and entertainment section of West Grand Avenue. Land use element policy 6.4, a preference for mixed use development. I believe I've already kind of stated the purpose behind that policy. And developing land use element 6.5 and street character. So making sure that those public improvements and frontage improvements are consistent with both our circulation element, the requirements of our street improvements, and planting, for example, trees and landscaping to really make it something that draws people to that area. So as I mentioned, the project site's within the West Grand Avenue master plan area, and it's subject to its policies and design guidelines. I mentioned the project site's within the visitor serving district and identified as a key gateway intersection. The master plan intends for underutilized lots such as this one to be developed as mixed use, offering a range of commercial and office space as well as upper floor residential and lodging to serve visitors and residents to the area. Lastly, the West Grand Avenue Master Plan focuses a lot on massing that should be at the pedestrian scale. It should include mid-block passages, again, the outdoor plazas, to really create that pedestrian environment. The project site is within the coastal zone and is therefore subject to the city's adopted local coastal program and its applicable policies. Coastal resource considerations for this project will be required to comply with and include those associated with the Visual Resource Area 3 and coastal public access. As proposed, the project appears consistent with both as it introduces a mixed-use development with an architectural design and style characteristic of the area, and one that we've seen kind of starting to come into the West Grand Avenue, as is evident with 401 as well as 402 West Grand Avenue. While the site is not directly adjacent to the beach, its visual prominence at the corner will draw pedestrians and likely allow for continued paths of travel across Highway 1 to state parks, and that's associated with that coastal public access policy. The project was reviewed for consistency with the city's development code. The site is zoned coastal visitor serving and is subject to those development standards that are shown in red in Table 2.5 of our development code. As proposed, it appears the conceptual project's consistent with all applicable requirements relative to height, lot coverage, density, and parking. And I've showcased just a few of those development code requirements under the bulleted list on your screen. Maximum height allowed is 55 feet, residential density 20 units per acre, lot coverage is allowed up to 100%, landscaping requirement is 10% minimum, parking for mixed use is 1 per 450 square feet, outdoor use area is 1 space for every 1,500 square feet, residential is 1.5 spaces per unit, and guest spaces are required for 1 space per 4 residential units. So this slide specific to some of the other considerations that will be applicable at the time of formal application. So the first is the city's safety element. So a portion of this site's within the 100-year flood elevation. And so as such, we will require a coastal flood risk assessment to be submitted at the time of formal application so that we can address whether or not, for example, the building might need to be built structurally built up out of that flood zone in the event that that 100-year flood were to come through. That flood risk assessment will be attached to the formal application when it comes back to your commission for final approval. Secondly, traffic and noise study. So this is a key gateway intersection. It is heavily trafficked. There will be some circulation impacts associated with the proposed development, but a traffic study addresses exactly what the extent of those impacts will be. We'll be asking that traffic study look at the cumulative impacts associated with the addition of traffic and vehicles to the area from 4th Street, incorporating the 401, 402 West Grand all the way to Highway 1. So that traffic study will look at that and be able to address what those impacts are and how we may, if applicable, need to mitigate for those increases. The site is adjacent to a railroad, so also to be taken under consideration is the impact to sensitive receptors. These will be residential. Residences are considered sensitive receptors, so these buildings will need to be constructed in a manner that limits or deflects the noise that would otherwise come from trains as well as from vehicles, and that will be addressed as part of that traffic and noise study. Lastly, Visual Resource Area 3, I mentioned this earlier in my presentation. Just as a part of any application, we typically require perspectives, renderings, and a massing diagram. This will be required as a part of this application as well, though we may ask for additional massing diagrams just to really showcase the extent of what this project is going to look like at that corner, as well as provide for some additional evidence showing that it's consistent with the policies outlined in Visual Resource Area 3. And ultimately, as it's proposed now, the design is required to be of high quality, consistent with our land use element policy that I addressed earlier. But ultimately, it's required to reflect the character and image of the city as a whole. And as you've seen, as we've been receiving development applications along West Grand Avenue, this is consistent with both 401 and 402, as well as several others that have been brought to us under concept. And with that, I will pause my presentation and invite the applicant up if they're ready.
Sure, why not? Might be too much power, Megan, I'm going to be honest. Good evening, Commissioner Scott Martin with RRM, representing the applicant. Cam Boyd with CCB is here as well if there's any applicant-specific questions later. But excited to be back in front of you. I feel like I'm starting to know the West Grand Avenue master plan, maybe too well, and this is a wonderful opportunity. So a different one, though. So we are here to solicit feedback. We're here to hear from you tonight. We'll show you some ideas, but this is really about listening as much as anything. So thank you for the opportunity. We've met a couple times with staff, gone through this, and now we're looking forward to your comments. So some particulars about the site that I find very unique. There's very little frontage. Grand Avenue is clearly the frontage of any of the projects envisioned along the master plan, and this in particular site, it's cattywampus. It's got this tiny little stretch of frontage and goes very, very deep. Luckily, there is good circulation access points, but really a struggle of how much commercial presence we can get on the ground floor as opposed to other projects where you'd stretch that along. Commercial just dies in the back of buildings, and we want to be realistic and know what we can and can't provide. There are still some existing structures on site, and I think we have to play with both what is there existing on ground now and what the master plan envisions in the future. So it is a little more gritty than other areas of quote unquote this downtown. So we're excited about it, but there are more constraints. The railroad tracks, definitely. We think the connection through to Ramona is a benefit. But really maximizing frontage along Grand and looking for ways to actually eliminate that access point and take it off of Second instead. We're still studying that with the traffic engineer, but we do think that's one way to maximize the amount of commercial, get a great plaza out in front on the corner, sort of pull your attention away from the railroad tracks, if you will. What we do like about the site is once you're up above the railroad tracks, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful. So I think there's a real amenity to be found if you can figure out what to do with the ground floor and get people through the site. So this version, definitely not version one, but after some consideration of stacked flats and smaller units, larger units, all kinds of different things, really focuses the retail up front towards Grand and then utilizes most of the site for parking. And I think you'll continue to find some of the densities that are allowed in your Grand Avenue or master plan do allow for some great units. You gotta still park them. And in this case, because of the flood challenges, because of the sensitivity to noise and others, we're trying to actually elevate the units. So most of the ground level behind the commercial is either surface parking, which you see along the adjacent neighbors, or garage parking tuck under, which is actually envisioned in the specific plan underneath the building itself. I'll try to describe that a little bit more, but this comes right out of your master plan, your long-term planning vision. The building shape is not exactly, but it's squint your eyes and kind of looks like that building. The site in question here is B. Even in the text and the envisionment of what was going to happen on this site, knowing the site constraints, there's talk of tuck under parking, parking podiums. This isn't a podium, but it's the same basic concept where you have circulation through the site and hide as much parking as you can. There are some opportunities for some pedestrian connections to the adjacent sites. I apologize for my light yellowy orange color not showing up too well, but there are pedestrian connections at almost every corner. We think that allows for penetration through the site. We are providing a pedestrian access to the units themselves along the railroad tracks. There's a easement along there anyways. It provides for a little front yard experience, a place to take the dog out, a place to have some ground floor presence without a bunch of your actual unit. This is what we call upside down living, where your living room would actually be on this second floor. You park, you have a small little flex space, whether it's office or we'll get into the plans a little bit more, but on the ground floor, most of your living's actually on the second floor, and then actually going all the way up to roof decks to really take advantage of what could be a spectacular view. There's a bus stop not too far to the east, vehicular access again off of Ramona and Second. Architecture on this one's interesting. I mentioned it's a little industrial right now. So if you look at your immediate context, there's some grit that I think is Funky Beach Town. I think can be something that is pulled out, but at the same time, these are envisioned as for sale units. So something that is amenable and marketable to many. So we're still playing with some of the architectural concepts. We do like the idea of some repetitive elements without being copy-paste along the way. We're trying to break up the building in the middle with a pedestrian access along that long, the long frontage actually happens to be the railroad tracks. So playing with upper floor setbacks, so the roof deck stepping back and what happens along that roof line is very important. It almost looks like a three-story by the time you're on the ground and can't see the upper floors. But then looking for some repetitive elements, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how that helps with some of our sound attenuation, which is a real constraint and challenge on this site. This is where we're at currently, bringing in some warm wood tones, but playing off some of the industrial grit and some of the darker colors as well, high contrast, some really big glass elements and public patio space on the ground floor to help say, aha, here's my retail space, I know where to go grab the cup of coffee. In the unit itself, as you can see, most of these are stacked right next to each other, except above on the mixed-use portion of the project. Most of what's downstairs is two parking spaces, and then stairs up or a little office, a guest bedroom, something like that on the ground floor. You come up to your living space, you have a deck that is sort of recessed into the plan. We'll talk about why that helps with sound attenuation in a moment. And then you go to the third floor to access bedrooms and on up to the roof deck for your private outdoor space of quantity. Maybe I broke it. Did I? Oh, yeah, there we go. So the sound is a challenge. We've looked into a number of different ways. We've worked on a couple projects. San Luis has some similar cases, so we've pulled from some case studies and previous sound studies. We don't have a full-blown sound study yet on this site. We're looking for information. But we do know there are attenuation measures. Part of that is that balcony use. That's why even on the living level, bringing out a pop-out element, it helps to start to reflect. So the only thing you can do with sound at this point is start to reflect it and capture it and send it back. So we're looking at techniques that still allow to maximize view out, but reflect sound back. Sometimes you even actually could slide a window across your balcony, and now you have this almost like little sunroom space in between your living space that is actually there to protect sound. So we're looking at some operable systems and some built-in deflection systems that would send sound back out towards the railroad and help attenuate that. So definitely something on our mind, and we're going to keep exploring details as we go, but it will sort of manifest itself into the actual building. When you get upstairs and you have windows into bedrooms or things like that, most of that's done with multi-pane glass and dampers on any intake or exhaust of fans and things like that. But we are sensitive to the outdoor space, and that's where we're really focusing our attention. Beyond that, we're excited about this one. It's a much different project, I think, than others you've seen in the West Grand Avenue plan. And we think it helps find that balance that is envisioned for the overall plan while still meeting some key city goals of providing ground floor retail and mixed use present and something almost iconic out there. So we're excited about the opportunity and here to answer any questions as you have them.
Are you done with your part of the presentation?
If you just click it one more, I just wanted to outline next steps for your commission. So this is the conclusion of my presentation as well. And so for your commission, if you could just go back to the very last slide, that'd be. But so for your commission is to provide feedback and comments to the applicant. We can also take public comment to provide feedback to the applicant on their design. And after that, thank you. After that, they would then go kind of back to the drawing board, as it were, and make any necessary changes that they found applicable to their project that also met, you know, what they were looking for to be able to develop. And then they would prepare their formal application for submittal to the city. The city will review that, consistent with kind of the outline that I provided you as part of my presentation. We'll also put out for agency referral and city referral, so Public Works Engineering, as well as Five Cities Fire, Police Department, Planning, and Building will all be responsible for reviewing and providing comment on the formal application. And then lastly, we'll return to your commission for public hearing, where we'll provide the formal submittal, and you'll be able to hear from the applicant at that point in time as well as to whether or not they've addressed your comments and anything else that you'd like to see.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So I'll open it up to the commission for any questions of staff or the applicant. I would ask that you hold your constructive comments until after the public comment section. So are there any questions of the applicant or our staff?
If I may. So the sound reflection, if I understand correctly at this site, how far away is the lodge on the opposite side of Highway 1? Is that right on the corner or is it set back?
No, the lodge, so the lodge is set back. There's actually quite a bit. I could not give you details, but it's set back quite a bit from the intersection. And then the railroad has an approximately, I think, 100-foot right-of-way, and then an additional 15 feet of setback from that property line for these residences.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I just had a clarification. You said these are all going to be market rate for sale units?
Correct.
I was wondering, when I read the packet, it talked about uninterrupted views to the ocean, and with the development happening across the street to the west, are they always going to be uninterrupted? Do we know?
I have no guarantees on that one. So currently now, it's kind of cool. You can take a drone out there and see all kinds of beauty. There's beauty regardless. Because of the railroad setback and right-of-way, you can look north and south and get quite a vantage point of the water and dunes and everything else. With the lodge coming on board, with other things, of course, view will continue to be encumbered over time, just like it will be for other local residents and other projects in the works now. So I think that's an ever-changing question, but I think with this view corridor, there's a wonderful opportunity there.
Are there plans for that 6-foot wall between this property and the railroad tracks to be bigger? What does that kind of look like? Because it says it's a 6-foot sound wall, and it wasn't very convincing, I guess.
Sure. So I'd love to hear any feedback you may have on that. Sound walls typically above 6 feet require special engineering and exceptions to municipal code and a bunch of other things. A lot of sound is generated right at the wheels of railroad tracks. So it's one way to just immediately have sound come and reflect back off. There is no current design. Happy to hear any comments about that. We've got that, then some landscaping, pedestrian space, then the building itself. But did think it was appropriate for this. It's also somewhat of a safety issue. It allows people on site to have a little bit more, okay, my kid can walk around, the dog can be out and about without, you know, worrying too much about access to the railroad.
Anything else?
Then I have one last question. Okay. The garage is a 2-car garage underneath?
And correct.
So, I'm sorry, I didn't look at the details. The width of the unit would be?
They're pretty narrow. They're about 16 feet.
I think it's stacked parking underneath, so one in front of the other.
We call that tandem parking.
Okay.
It's not 2 cars wide.
Yeah.
It is 1 car wide and 2 cars deep. It's much like there's no driveways, right? So, like at my single family house, I have a garage, and then I can park in the driveway in front of it. And every time my wife needs to go, and I parked behind her, I go and move the car, tell her to take mine instead. So it's similar to that sort of setup. They're what's called tandem parking, and it's just like happens at a single family residence. Just they're both encased. They're both hidden from view from everybody. And then there's also parking all along that fence line as well.
Anything else?
Is the way to get to the garages, it's on the west side, correct?
We're east.
On the east side?
Yeah, the west side would be pedestrian access, okay. And that sound wall. So along, I don't think I can actually point, but the access is either from Ramona or Second, who that last one works. And the gray portion of the site plan is where cars would drive, with open parking to the right, up against the current industrial buildings. And then the garages, each unit has a garage door, single garage door, two cars deep on the left-hand side. And then it's completely sort of a pedestrian environment in between the railroad tracks and the front of the building itself, where your entry door would be. Did that answer that?
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Looking forward to the feedback.
All right. Thank you. So we'll move on to public comment. And if anyone from the audience would like to speak to this issue, please approach the podium. Okay. Is there anyone on the phone who would like to speak to this item?
No, there's not.
All right. We will close public comment, bring it back to the commission. Why don't we start with Commissioner Swift and move down the row? As far as comments that we can give, construction.
On this one?
Yes, constructive criticism, what have you.
I think it's an attractive project. Since I can hear the loud horn of the approaching train, even living up on Atlantic City, I hope the people that buy them don't mind the guy that likes to blow the horn when he comes into town. But no, I think it's a nice use of that piece of property. I will be curious to see what Five Cities says about access to the ladder truck into the parking lot from Second or from Ramona. But no, I think it looks good.
Okay, Commissioner May.
Yes, thank you. So I live in a very similar unit, part of the Ocean Oaks complex at 16th and Ramona. And so it's three stories. It's a little less than 17 feet wide, just a single parking spot. And then there's like a bonus room at the back, but it's not deep enough that it would get three bedrooms and two cars in it, you know, two cars on the first floor. So I think it's a great design. I love it, especially like security wise as a single person, like nobody wants to climb two flights of stairs to take your stuff. So, so it's nice to have those tall. And the view is wonderful and quiet. Once you're at that third story, it's great. And that these would have rooftop decks, it's very attractive. I will say, and I think I've said this previously, I love that there's some private, you know, people space and pet space with these units. I have a little tiny, I don't have a dog, I have cats, but I have a little tiny patio. And it's nice to just have that to yourself. As well as that roof deck. And then I think I've also said this with tall, skinny homes. The one thing I wish I had was a dumb waiter. And I know those are expensive. But to get your groceries up to the first floor, especially if you've got an injury or you're wrangling a child, these are three-bedroom units, so there might be some children in them, you know, families. And even depending where the laundry's at, getting the laundry up and down the stairs, too. So. I am also a child who tried to fit their brother in the laundry chute when I was younger, so they might need to have a bit of controls on them if you do decide to include them, maybe a keypad lock or something. Otherwise, I'm excited to see where the design goes. I think these are very attractive, and I like that there's some larger units, you know, in these that could house a few more people. So. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Vice Chair Holden.
Oh, I think it's an attractive design as well. And I just don't know where our tourists will get their ATV equipment. What happens to BJ's? They're gone?
Well, BJ's has decided to sell the property, so... hopefully ATVing, having fun somewhere, but that's, you know, that's okay. It's up to them. Arnie's is still immediately adjacent, so there are still ATV rentals in the area, okay. And I believe that there may also be some on the dunes itself through state parks.
Okay. Commissioner Howe.
I think it's a very ambitious project considering how close it is to the railroad tracks. And I definitely grew up near railroad tracks, and it is very loud. So I'm very curious how you guys are planning on mitigating the noise issues. I mean, I don't know very many people who I think would want to live that close. I've seen the ones in SLO. You know, it's a lot of them were hard to sell when they, you know, were done. And that's my kind of big concern, is that it's too ambitious for being too close to the tracks. And then, of course, there's the safety component. I mean, if we're encouraging more pedestrians to be going to that area, we really need to consider how that will impact, you know, the trains going through there, because we've, you know, had fatalities this year. And so those are kind of my main concerns with this development. I do like the way it looks. They are very tall and narrow. but I'm happy that they have two car spaces. I think that will be helpful.
All right, I guess it's my turn to repeat what everybody else has already said. It looks like a great development to me. I think the designer is learning his lessons with every iteration here, and I look forward to the next one, actually. And this is a challenging site, so hopefully the next one will be a little more of a slam dunk. I like the idea that there is no vehicular access on Grand, because that would obviously complicate the traffic flow on Grand. So having the access on the side streets is much more preferable. And I like the parking that you've provided. I know some people don't think it's necessary, but in our current world, I think it is. The pedestrian access, if this becomes more of a populated residential area than it is today, I guess that's a traffic flow. I know there's signals, and I don't know if there's a pedestrian signal there at that corner, but the temptation for pedestrians would be to cross next to the rails instead of going up a block or half a block. So that's something we have to consider, I suppose, because that's a more risky crossing than going to the light. What else? The roof decks are good. I think we're going to have concerns from the public about height and height of the buildings and blocking views and the things that we commonly encounter. It is what it is, and it's well within our boundaries, our height limitations. So I don't have any other comments. If no one else has thought of something in the meantime.
I did. I actually had a question about the flood.
Sure.
Question. A couple things that fall back on that. One, does this end up being an area that has to carry federal flood insurance? And does that, it doesn't, okay. And then for site drainage, if you're already in a low spot, in a very wet spot, and we have another January like we did this last year, do you come up with essentially a site drainage plan that doesn't actually even percolate anymore? Yeah.
Yes, and that will all be addressed at the time of formal application. So our senior engineer will take a look at what the requirements are when you're located in that 100-year flood area and what the minimum standards would be to ensure that that runoff is maintained. Yeah.
I had one question about the sort of the ownership model. So the units that I'm in were subdivided, the parcels were subdivided. So I technically own the land underneath the unit. And it's considered a single family home, not a condo. So I'm curious if that's still a thing that is done now, because this was back in the 80s, so the rules might have been different. And then sort of how the commercial and the residential responsibility for the exterior and maintenance works.
Very good question. Very technical in nature, so I'll do my best to explain. Yes, you can still do exactly what you talked about, which is, we call them postage stamp lots, where each of the townhomes literally are built from one property line to another. You draw a property line, you own the land, you own a 6-inch air gap in between you and the next building, even though finishes and roofs and slabs go beyond that. So for the townhome portion, that's definitely something we're exploring and looking at. There are I want to make sure the plan's read correctly. Above the commercial, there are also also some townhomes. They don't have the garage connection, but there are townhome, two-story townhomes above the commercial. So those would be more of a traditional condominium airspace, if you will. You own air, not so much ground, because the commercial building itself is under there. So just to complicate things more, it's a mix of both of those. However, there will be a common agreement for all the landscape, lighting, and common facilities. So making sure paths are maintained and things like that. Not quite to a point of CC&Rs and those kinds of things, but that's where you can start to manage your exterior finishes and things beyond just lighting and landscaping.
And the ones above commercial are also three-bedroom? Is that correct, or are they two?
Yeah, it's interesting. In the actual submittal package, the commercial is at the frontage. It wants a nice two-story volume. Behind the commercial, you'll see on the ground floor is some garages or some back of house for the commercial. Mm-hmm. Above that, before you're above the commercial, so we're two floors of smaller space. A garage only needs about 10 feet. A commercial wants about 20. We've gotten a bedroom and an entry into each unit. So they've got similar kind of concept of the ones on the end. They've got a bedroom, could be an office, very, very nice flex space, could be a game room, who knows. But then you come upstairs, so now you're on the third floor, one floor above the commercial, so second, I don't know, call it whatever floor you want, and your living space is there, your bedroom's on the floor above that. So it's kind of this three-dimensional puzzle. Some of my drafters went about insane when we talked about how to make this happen, but it's a little bit of a three-dimensional puzzle. There is still a couple garages, there is still a third bedroom or flex space on the second floor, and then the same sort of 16-foot wide kitchen, living, dining, bedroom above that.
Or maybe like a single car garage, not the double tandem.
There's a couple single car garages, and actually with the way the units mix out, that there's probably one or two that don't get a garage. So it's an interesting concept. It is definitely a mixed use building and what we'll call a townhome continuation as you go further down the road.
Like a row home, basically.
Row home, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the feedback.
Okay. Any other comments or suggestions? All right, seeing none, I will close this item, and we will move on to commissioners' comments. Are any of the commissioners able or willing or ready to make any comments? No? I'm seeing none. No comments. Okay, then. Community Development Director's report.
Short this week. Thank you, Chair. The lodge is still in the same place that was the last month that we met. So we're waiting to schedule a meeting with their design team to talk through some of the revisions and corrections that the state and the city provided back to them. 950 El Camino Real, if you've had an opportunity to drive by, continues to make great progress. It's really incredible to see how quickly that's coming along. Also along Farrell, 550 Farrell, the Astound project site has started grading. So you've probably noticed some activity there. They're moving dirt around. They're going to be starting to prep the site for installation of utilities. Also, there was a groundbreaking yesterday for the Barca emergency shelter that's going to be operated by the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. It'll be an approximately 30-unit emergency shelter, so individual sleeping cabins that will operate very similarly to Cabins for Change, which we know has been an incredible asset to community members here. And with that, unless you have any questions on any particular developments, I have nothing else to report.
All right. Do we have any questions for our director? No?
I have one. What is going on? I don't know the address. I think it's right next to Robert Roberts' house.
Sure. So there's a single-family residential development at that site, and we're working through the administrative coastal development permit for that property. Once we receive public comment for the next 10 days, after which I, the director, make a determination whether to approve the project or not based on any written comment that I've received, and then that determination can be appealed to your commission. So there was a procedural error. We corrected the issue, and we're allowing them to, based on just public health and safety risk, fix the erosion sedimentation control measures at the site, at which point, once that's shored up, construction will stop. We'll complete the administrative coastal development permitting process and be able to continue to move forward with development of that residence at that lot.
There is a small, well, it's kind of wide section that it is not within the, it's closer to the property line and the trees. That's just, it's just not within the sectioned off part where they're grading.
There's a legal lot in between the mm-hmm. the lot that's being built on 885 North 6th and the so it's 885 North 6th on the mm-hmm. corner. There's a legal lot in the middle and then another one adjacent to that. Okay. So that lot in the middle, the development team is aware that mm-hmm. that cannot be parked on. Commercial vehicles cannot park there or load or stage any kind of equipment on that site. So they're aware. And if anything like that comes up again, staff will address it accordingly.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's just on my walking route, and I see it every day. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. They're moving a lot of dirt. Mm-hmm. And it's... will be resolved shortly.
Thank you.
Okay. Nothing else, folks? Nothing else? All right. With no further business before the commission, I adjourn this meeting at 7:01. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.